Welcome to the Choose Optimism podcast, a podcast focused on letting you know of the great things optimists are doing in your community. We are in our second series focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family.
As we continue our Optimist podcast fundraising series, it is my pleasure to introduce Mike Affmer from the Dorwood Optimist Club with the Avenue of Flags. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Shane.
So one of the things we talk about on the Optimist podcast is your Optimist story. Tell us a little bit how you got involved to be an Optimist.
Well, I've been a member of the Dorwood Optimist Club since 1998. I was in the corporate world, and a friend of mine, a lawyer, Fred Dressel, was a member of Dorwood, and he kept pestering me to join and all that. So I joined 1998. He ended up a lieutenant governor of Ohio later on, but he's now a judge in Kettering. But he got me involved. I didn't attend many meetings in the beginning because I was working and traveling and so forth. And as I moved along, I became more involved with things. The Christmas tree lot, I coach youth basketball, just a number of other programs. And this Avenue of Flags eventually came to the forefront. To be honest, the few times I attended meetings, I did not intend to get near Avenue of Flags. I looked at it as an outsider thinking, this is way too much work. But as I retired and then moved into it, I got more and more involved. So I'm glad I did. But that's how I got from the beginning to the Avenue of Flags.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Avenue of Flags. What exactly is it, and how do you, start? How did this program start in your club?
Avenue of Flags is now become bigger across the country. More and more clubs, nonprofits, military organizations have started it. It started in a small town in Pennsylvania, I believe. And in 2009, a Kettering program called the Leadership Academy, in which the city of Kettering enlists from companies in the city, sort of leaders they expect. It's to teach them about the city and learn about it, and then contribute to the city and have their companies contribute to the city and in many different ways. Well, this Leadership Academy also has to come up with a project to do, and in 2009. Avenue of Flags became a project that the leadership proposed, and Dorwood Optimist Club, because we had a member on the Leadership Academy, got involved and helped out with it. And when the Leadership Academy disbanded, and they have a different group every year, the Dorwood Optimist Club took over ownership of Avenue of Flags.
So tell us a little bit about the Avenue of Flags and what this project entails and how you guys get started, or what is the process to get started for you when you start the Avenue of Flags?
It was very interesting. The very beginning, they wanted to do flags. And these flags, it's a fundraiser. Some groups do it as a military salute. But in terms of sort of a program, the idea is to distribute a flag on the five major national holidays: Memorial Day, Flag Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, and Veterans Day. And the program, we will deliver a flag to your home. It's planted in the front yard or wherever you may want it to be. And then we will come after the holiday and take it down. So it's sort of a process. We do it five times a year, and it's a one-time donation per year. And right now ours is say $50. It varies a little bit around, but knowing that Kettering has about 55,000 people, it's not a very small town. It's not a huge town, but not a small one. So what they did was, in the planning stages before my time, is had a real estate person who knew the community, scoped out a specific space of the community in which to target for the flag program. And the flag program in 2009 through 2011 went through planning, subscriptions, how do we do it? We have to have what we call route teams that deliver the flags, pick up the flags. And the initial launch of the program was 190 flags. And it was basically the whole list of subscribers was on a Excel spreadsheet. Started very small, very primitive. And then from each year forward, the subscriptions grew and the program itself grew. And that's sort of how it started. So 2009 through 2013 or 14, it kind of took off and the community started catching on. Hey, this neighborhood has flags. We'd like to have one of those. So the requests started coming in and growth started. So that's how it got started.
So how many subscriptions would you say that your club does now?
Right now, we do almost 1,800 flags. That is in Southwest Ohio is probably the second biggest. Centerville has over, I'm going to say 3,400 flags, but it varies across the communities and the size of the clubs too. We have some clubs that have under 100, 50 flags, 60 flags. We've tried to help out and coach other clubs that are starting to do it. And we want to teach them, don't get overly concerned about the scope of the programs. Start small. So we went from 190 to 1,800 and continues to grow every year. And Centerville's is even bigger, but Centerville's got a bigger territory. They have a township and a lot of businesses where, say, a car dealership will order 14, 15 flags. Our biggest customer right now has 15 flags, and that's a Chick-fil-A.
And at $50 a flag for the holidays, that adds up pretty quick at 1,800.
1,800 times roughly 50. Now, we discount it a little bit if you get multiple flags. It's $45 a flag if it's more than one. Other clubs are charging $55 for the year. Others are 60s. We're tending on the lower side only because Kettering among the communities that probably has the oldest community, if you look at the demographics, and a lot of them are war veterans, and we just don't want to, we're making money, so we want to make sure they don't feel sort of like out of the game because it costs too much money for them. So that's what it is currently. But the cost of flags has gone up of making the flags.
Because that's over close to, if my math is correct in my head, almost $90,000 a year. Working five fundraising days a year.
I think it comes in about $84,000 in revenue by the time we get done. That's discounts. People, for whatever reason, we kind of let off the hook or don't charge them for the year, or we don't want to lose them if they're having some medical problems or job problems. But it was roughly about $84,000, I think. Now, that's revenue. That doesn't include the cost of the flags and so forth.
Absolutely. But still, for a fundraiser five times a year, that's a pretty good return on your money.
It's actually excellent. We're very happy that it's grown so much, and it's allowed the club to support more programs and some bigger ticket items in the community. For instance, just today I found out there's a new park in Kettering, and one of the things the city was looking for help was funding a drinking fountain in the middle of this brand new park, spanking new. We are going to support it. $15,000. So things like that where we couldn't do it in the past has allowed us to become very prevalent across the community in terms of supporting youth programs, both donating to them and, running them. So we're very pleased with it. It's become our biggest fundraiser. Originally, when I joined the club, the biggest one was a sort of a Kettering tradition, was Dorwood had two Christmas tree lots. It was a very big deal, but as time has gone on, Avenue of Flags has grown, and then the Christmas trees stayed about the same, even with people more and more getting artificial trees. But Avenue of Flags is now well beyond what the tree lots come through every year. So yes, it's been very successful and really helps the club.
Tell me a little bit about when you get a flag, a subscription. How much does it cost to put a flag together, and what are some of the processes you do to put a flag together?
Last year, I believe a flag costs about $23 and some odd cents. I think that was it. Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood, $25, say, $25 to $30 probably is the normal. But that went up a lot after the pandemic, and that includes a flagpole, which we buy from an electric company. It's conduit. The flags, the fasteners, the sleeves that go in the ground for the flag to fit in when we do it. So there's a lot of pieces and part beyond just buying an American flag, and that's an increasing cost to us, but we don't replace them every year. I mean, we can probably get, depending on the weather and how they come through, 5 to 8 years out of a flag. So it's not every year we're buying a whole new stock. We do have to buy or create or assemble 20 to 30 flags a year just in case we have more growth or we're replacing flags that get damaged, stolen, wear and tear, so forth.
And like we said earlier, you know, that's a fundraiser 5 days a year that you're out there doing something.
So for fundraising 5 days a week and maybe adding a couple days in there to assemble the flags and put things together, that's a pretty good return on your money.
It is, but it's almost a year-round job in a sense for a few people. Subscriptions come in year-round. Christmas time, we get a lot of people that want to gift flags, and that's a big portion of our 1,800 people gifting other people. Parents who are veterans, the elderly love the flags in their front yards 5 times a year. So we've got a few of us that are booking orders, making sure in terms of our database that we've got everything updated, who's paying for that flag, so forth. For our route teams, we have 40 of them now. It's usually two people to deliver the flags. It's 5 holidays. It's 5 weekends out of the year. And we try to let them do it in the middle of the week to the middle of the week so they don't lose their holiday weekend and so forth. We also enlist and also pay a stipend for some groups such as Boy Scouts, Junior Optimists, and a couple of school teams. Now, we pay them on a per flag basis. It's a nominal fee, but it helps them pay for going to the Junior Optimists, going to the OI conference in the summer, things like that. So we do have some out-of-pocket money we spend, but it also goes to youth. So they get it and they work for it and help us support the program. Because just the club members alone, because of the age of some of the members and so forth, we wouldn't be able to do it without some of these other youth groups that help us out. And we have a parent on each team. So it's not just two kids go out in the middle of the night and put flags up. They're supported and run by it, you know, the management of the different youth groups. So we spend a little money there too, but that's going to a good cause in all cases. But in terms of the route teams actually doing their job, it's not that much of an impact on their lives, we don't think. It's just a small leadership team that probably spends the bulk of the year doing something on the program. So, but you're exactly right. It's to the rest of the club, that's all behind the scenes, kind of back office things that go on all the time.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break, Mike. We'll be right back when we hear from our sponsor, Optimist International.
Hey, Optimist, what are you doing June 22nd through the 26th of 2024? Come hang out with us in Niagara Falls for the 106th Optimist International Convention. A chance to hear motivational speakers, attend workshops, and meet and socialize with other optimists from all over Optimist International. Did you know that the first club of Toronto was the first club to be chartered outside of the United States in 1924? So that means we're celebrating 100 years of optimism in Canada this year. So register for the convention today to have a great time and learn and meet amazing people from all over the world.
And we're back talking with Mike from the Dorwood Optimist Club about the Avenue of Flags. And we were just picking up, Mike, we were talking about you have different youth groups come out and help put the flags up. What are some of the other projects that your club supports in the area?
Well, we have a number of programs that we run or own. A youth TriStar basketball, and we have Safety Village, which is the oldest program the club runs in joint with the city now. Safety Village is kindergartners going a couple of days during the summer to a safety class. They're taught by the Kettering police how to go about, you know, be careful at stoplights, you know, walk lonely, different things that you would try to teach a young person in general. But that program's been going since the beginning of the club in 1965. So that's sort of the bellwether. And now other communities come into town to attend it. And other clubs have copied that program. Youth soccer will be starting back up again. We've got, you know, just a number of children's programs. Young adults has been a big focus lately. We've done very well in helping form junior optimist clubs in the community. in the schools at the school basis. My grandson, who's a third grader, just signed up for his club with Southdale Elementary School in Kettering. So they're renewing the program. It had kind of died off for a year or two, but it's coming back, and they always had a great program. So area schools, we have junior high. They all have Optimist clubs and programs that, you know, they work with us and we work with them. Just a number of programs that, like I said, we donate or make donations to a number of requests every year that the Kettering School District might have for different programs. Suicide prevention, that's a, you know, the one end of the scale. And then there's school supplies, the Kettering food bank. Not the food bank, but the kids, I can't remember the name of the program off bat, but the providing meals for kids in school just because of the different support they need in making sure they're properly fed every day. So, you know, it's a number of things, and we get requests all the time that we now can help support. And the fundraising has been a big help in doing that, making sure we're not saying no to anything. That seems of reason to us.
And that must be pretty exciting of a program. We were able to fund these projects. And like we said before, it's not a lot of work. I mean, obviously, like behind the scenes stuff, you have a couple of people that have stepped up. But for a few days a year, you're making a pretty good return on your money. And that's the purpose of these, is to get other Optimist clubs excited about fundraising so we can continue to help the youth in our community.
Yeah, we definitely are trying to help other clubs when they're thinking about starting it. We try to make sure that they don't get scared off by the different pieces and parts that go to it. We've been doing it a while. Centerville's been doing it a while. Other communities, Troy, Ohio's been doing it a while. So we're more than happy to help. We tell them don't get scared, you know, and start small. You know, you don't have to go to 1,800 flags in a year. It's taken us a while to get there. So just get started. Like I said, we started on an Excel spreadsheet, and it's grown from there. So it can be done. And the one thing we've learned throughout is, and a given Optimist Club has a lot of very talented people in it. And when there are things like, I wouldn't know how to assemble a flag, I'll run some numbers for you, but I don't know how to put those together. But we got guys that will do that. They're engineers. They love doing that kind of stuff. So it's just a matter of use the school skills of your club members, and you probably can cover all the pieces and parts that you need to. And then you find out, hey, this is doing pretty well. We can do this. And before you know it, it just grows every year. And it doesn't overwhelmingly grow every year. It's just bits and pieces, and you get growth. We got unexpected growth during the pandemic. We were concerned we'd lose some of the customers, and it went the opposite. Everybody got into the patriotic mood. You know, I forget if you remember all that, but you know, people started wanting to put the flag out. You know, we'll get through this. We'll get through this, and our numbers went up quite a bit. That's the biggest growth year we had. It was the pandemic, and we made some adjustments to the time period the flags were out, so our members weren't exposed to it and so forth. But things like that, we got smart people. We can do workarounds if something comes up. So, and now we have the tools and supporting items in place. We've got a flag room. Somebody rented us a room. We got to keep these 1,800 flags somewhere. That's not easy when you think about it. So, you know, it's just using the community and using your club members and the brains they have.
And if you had any piece of advice for somebody wanting to start an Avenue of Flags, what would be some advice that you would give to a club that's looking at a new fundraiser?
I would say talk to another club that's been doing it. Learn their lessons. We share our tools. We have a very, very developed database. We've got a guy that loves doing it. And we share that with people. We even put out on a public drive a blank database. You can fill it in yourself if you want to. You get from that. There are lessons to be learned, and we can share them with you. And other clubs are more than happy usually to share them with you. When we went to the Ohio District recently and presented Avenue of Flags, Bellbrook, which is right next to Kettering, they're only at about 400 flags. And we both spoke together. I went through it as a bigger community. They went through it as a smaller one and just tried to impress upon Ohio Optimist clubs, hey, this can be done. Big, small, whatever. You'll need some tools, and we can help you supply or explain what you need to do. There will be lessons learned. And the biggest thing is start small. Just, you know, allow yourself to grow. It'll happen.
Mike, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you sharing your knowledge on the Avenue of Flags. And hopefully we can inspire some other Optimist clubs to keep fundraising in their community. And like I said, they can be as successful as you and do a lot of great things for the youth in our community. So we appreciate your time and the amount of stuff that you do for the youth and your community and for your club as well.
Thank you very much. We're very proud of it. And we, like many other clubs, are willing to share what we know.
And that's exactly what we need to keep our clubs growing and our communities growing, and will help more youth in the communities.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Choose Optimism podcast. This series is focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. We are hoping to inspire other clubs to pick up new fundraisers and new ideas to take back to their clubs and improve their communities in better ways. If you are interested in becoming an Optimist, please find us on optimist.org, or better yet, reach out to a local Optimist club in your community.